This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Since last time we talked to you, your quarterback won the MVP. You know, what's that kind of say? I know what you guys think of him inside the room, but to see that validated throughout the league.
I mean, I think it, like you said, the word validated, it validates everything that he's been doing for years. It validates his leadership this year, the way he's played on the field this season, the way he's matured off the field, on the field, his decision making and how that's improved. So all these areas that were perceived, call it gaps, Josh has answered those gaps and he's closed those gaps. And when you do that at the level that he did it at on a consistent basis, the result was the MVP. And so to me, as I said during the year, later in the year in particular, he deserved that, every bit of that award.
Hey, Sean, you're in the second year talking about the kickoff role for the last couple of days. Do you see the rationale in a 35-yard touchback, or do you think
I'm not going to get into where it's at in terms of being approved or not. Just my own opinion on it. We know the obvious thing is you're going to get more potential returns, which I think is good for the game personally. So, you never know when you move things a little bit, even if small tweaks, kind of the residual effects of those tweaks, right? So you're never really sure how the overall game's going to get affected. But I like where and what the kickoff did this year for our game. Do we leave it alone, or do we move it a little bit just to the right or to the left? And so we'll see where that goes.
So you reportedly made a change in special teams coordinator. Did you confirm that you moved on from Matthew Smiley? What went into that decision?
Yeah, I did. I can confirm that. It's a hard business, right? Unfortunate part of the business, but the hard part of my job. And those decisions are hard decisions. And so, I know what I said after the season there. And for me, it's wanting to take my time and go through it and making sure that I fully evaluate the position. But also where we need to go with that position. And so that was the reason for the timing on it. Matthew Smiley is a heck of a person, heck of a coach, and I can't thank him and his family enough.
John, can you also break down the other coaching moves you made?
Yeah. I'll go through some of them. So we added Ryan Nielsen as senior defensive assistant. Ryan's been a coordinator the last two stops, one in Jacksonville and then prior to that in Atlanta. Before that, Ryan's expertise as a position coach was really coming up as a defensive line coach in New Orleans in particular, and then some other spots before that. So Ryan's going to help us out on defense overall. His main focus is going to be the defensive line.
What do you like about Tabor?
Well, I've been tracking Tabes just his career. You guys probably do the same thing. You're coming up around the same age, and you're seeing people who are really good at what they do. Naturally, you keep tabs on them. you become friends through the business, through the profession, and you know, Tapes has been usually tied up, as many of these good veteran coaches are, and so, you know, this year, him being out this past season, coming off of his time at Carolina, offered me an opportunity to interview him and spend some time with him, and then make the hire. Well, you know, Elena, I would say probably one that was higher up on my scale was experience, was veteran experience. You know, it's not all that different in terms of hiring Coach Kromer, right? Just in terms of veteran experienced position coach, in this case, coordinator, that's had a lot of success. So, you know, when you can get a coach like that, they're hard to come by, number one. And so when you can get your hands on one, I think you got to take the swing, and that's what I decided to do.
What did you see in Mike Moreno that made him right?
Well, number one, division. We basically swapped with New England, and with Coach Booker going there, and then Mike coming here. So happy to have Mike and his family. You know, I think more than anything, one of the things that came across was just really what they've done defensively there, in particular under Coach Belichick on the defensive side, with some of the way that they've shaped their coverage packages, their zone, their man-to-man, and their development of some of those players that they've had in the back end. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that drew me to Mike and spending some time with him, and then also some of the schemes, like I said, as well. So, you know, Mike, if you know his background, is a John Hopkins guy. So he's extremely smart, and you can never go wrong hiring smart guys that work hard.
John, will his role be, what was title be?
John? Nickel coach.
Nichols.
Yes. Yep.
Do you anticipate, because of some of the hires you've made now, we saw a little bit of it at the end of the year, a little more man coverage than you should need, along those terms?
Yeah, I mean, if that happens, Sal, I would tell you that it would happen organically. It's not I'm not being intentful about, hey, we got to play man to man and we have to hire these people and play man to man at the end of the year. Versus, I mean, that's, you're probably looking a little bit, some of you guys, too much into that. You know, that was a response to, in particular in that last game, what was happening in terms of the ball coming out a little bit quicker. You know, we're going to do and evolve in the off season how we feel like we need to go and evolve defensively. And I think it's important that you have a vision for what the league is and where offenses are going. And then, again, how we need to be out in front of that curve.
How much do you change philosophically based on the personnel that you have? When you even get to training camp, even how you set it up, once you see your team and get them out on the grass,
yeah,
how much do you kind of change over the course of time philosophically based on people?
Well, you said it all right there, Ryan. I believe spring is, I'll lay it like this. Spring is for taking what you've seen on tape in the off season and studied, and basically saying, let's try it out. Let's experiment, right, for lack of a better word. And then from there, you refine it down, sharpen it, and say, this is what we liked. This is what may fit us best based on what we know about our players to this point. And then you go and you basically get yourself to a training camp menu that you're really now trying to build the reps with. But all the while, through the course of spring into training camp, but in particular in spring, you're really figuring out who you have and what the strengths of your roster is, especially on defense in this case. And then you're seeing it in a similar way in training camp, but now with full pads on, playing the real game of football, which sometimes can change. You get a little bit of a false impression on someone in shorts and t-shirt, and then you get to the game being played on the field in pads, and you can kind of tweak and adjust from there. So our system is predominantly built around who we have and what they do best. You know, I think he's going to grow. How much is really up to him. And he's a type A personality guy. He's extremely passionate about growing and intense. And I think that when you have those type of qualities, personality-wise and drive, commitment-wise, dedication, Two, it bodes well for a tremendous amount of growth. And so I think that he is going to learn a lot from year one and carry it into year two, and it's only going to help him.
Sean, there's also been reports that Seattle's no longer with the organization. Is that the case? And if so, do you have any strength and conditioning?
Yeah, so again, you know, Coach Seattle gave a lot of years of service, he and his family both, and staples in our community, in Orchard Park in particular, and you know, great friends with his family as well. So hard to see him move on. Happy for him that he's landed in Jacksonville, and he's going to do great there. As far as our status and where we're at with our head strength and conditioning position, we are going through interviews right now, but that's really where we're at right now.
Is there an injury risk that is concerning?
To me, there's always been an injury risk with that play, and I've expressed that opinion for the last couple of years or so when it really started to come into play. The way it's being used, especially you know a year ago, so I just feel like you know players' safety and the health and safety of our players has to be at the top of our game, which it is. It's just that play to me has always been the way that the techniques that are used with that play to me have been potentially contrary to the health and safety of the players. And so again, you have to go back though in fairness to the injury data on the play, but I just think it, the optics of it, I'm not in love with.
Sean, obviously widely talked about. We know your feelings about the position, but you should almost even ratchet things up a level to really emphasize the importance that group is needs to be for you.
Well, I think it's a philosophical thing more than anything. That's what I believe in. That's as you saw. That's a pretty good copy, you know, carbon copy of what you can do. And you know, give credit to the Eagles, to their players played well and this and that and scheme and this and that. But it's never about one game, and it's not about, it's just overall, generally speaking, you have to, when you're in these seats, you have a general philosophy on how you believe the game should be played and how things are built. And so it's really what I came from years ago in Philadelphia, ironically enough, and you know I've talked about it since we've been here. So yeah, that was a heck of a game to watch.
Sean, James Cook has been very outspoken about his upcoming contract status in the media this offseason. Not asking you to give me the weeds there, but do you have any perspective on that in terms of what he's asking for and what the team values James in his position as a starting quarterback?
Well, I love James. You know, when you're a coach, I'm going to take the business part out of it for a second if I can. When you're a coach and you're on the field with these players and you're in the meetings and you're watching them develop on the field, off the field, he's a great example of one of the joys of that comes with coaching is developing and watching a young man develop in both of those areas. And then to go on the field, in this case, this year in particular, and have the success that he experienced and how he helped our team. I mean, it's just a great feeling as a coach to watch a young man do what he did. And, you know, the business part is going to take care of itself. You know, Brandon, I know, is you know, on top of that, and he will be on top of that moving forward.
Sean, going back to John's question about the defensive line and what the Eagles were able to do and maybe the blueprint for beating that team that you guys are trying to get past in the Chiefs, you mentioned Coach Nielsen and him having a focus on the defensive line. Is that an area that maybe you've identified here after the season as a group that you need to see a collective improvement from up front there?
Well, I don't think you can ever have enough good coaches, in particular those critical positions. And so when Coach Nielsen came available, you know, again, you look at his career and where he went, and it's hard to get your hands on. And I'll use the defensive line. It's hard to get your hands on really good defensive line coaches, and he has that pedigree. He's had that success at that position. So the short answer on it is, it's about acquiring a really good football coach that happens to be a defensive line coach as well, and he'll team with Marcus and Rebs as well on the in that position. And so, you know, when you can put good coaches around yourself as a head coach, it's who have been there and done that at a high level. It bodes for good things in the future. And so, techniques, fundamentals, intensity. I'm just talking about the things that, from a coaching standpoint. So, you know, so anyway, from a coaching standpoint, those are the pieces that, that I control, and I'm always trying to add the best possible coaches that I can.
John, I remember last year you talked about some point in the off season last year, you talked about how imperative it was to you needed to get a field stretcher in that offense.
And
A field stretcher.
Yeah.
Really didn't get that yet. You got a lot of guys that were intermediate. Is that a need that you have to address, whether it's free agency or the draft?
Well, without getting too much into strategy and whatnot, I am a believer in that speed. Stretching the field, not just vertically, but horizontally and vertically, I think it just opens up a defense. And so I thought we did that at times, probably not enough this year. And not just, you know, throwing the ball deep. It doesn't always mean that. It means taking a short pass and taking it, you know, and some good rack yards for us in production. So I thought overall we did some good things in that wide receiver room. I really do. Can you always benefit from adding more speed? Absolutely. Yeah.
Just expanding on that, can you talk about the development of Keon Coleman? And then on top of that, what do you think of the wide receiver class this year?
Well, I'll just start with the wide receiver class this year. My exposure is 0.0, and these guys, the local people, know that that's what it is almost every year I come here. Usually, thankfully, because we play later in the year in the playoffs, but also because I like to come in with a blank slate for the most part and then make my own evaluation and opinion on the player. As far as Keon goes, I thought he had an up-and-down first season. I really do. And I mentioned that after the year. I thought he got off to a start that he built momentum through, and then he got injured. And then from there on, it was rather rocky, I would say. And we're looking for him to learn from those moments of adversity and come back and have a really, really, really strong off season and get himself going into the start of season two here.
When you have a conversation with a very young player like him in particular, who seems to have a lot of positive energy around him, how did he respond to that?
I mean, he's a good young man that just as most young players don't always know what they don't know about the league and how hard this league is, and so it's more constructive style conversation and topics with how we can move forward together and what you have to do. The process between now and the start of the off-season program in March and April. So. That's really what it's about, and until you've gone through it, you haven't gone through it. And so just trying to build awareness of what you need to do. There's a lot of people who come in and have a good first year, and then another rookie at the same position doesn't have the same level of success. And then what you find, and it's kind of human nature, is the person who had great success that first season kind of relaxes a little bit and downshifts, thinking that they understand how this league works, and it's actually the player that didn't play much in the first year comes and has a better second year than the first player does. And it's just a weird dynamic to me, but it really makes sense when you think about it. Like, you have to stay urgent, you have to stay on the gas, or this league will eat you up, whether you're a player or coach, whatever it is. And that takes a certain type of person with a certain drive and determination and fire in their heart. And it's going to be Keon's turn to show that he has that this offseason. Yes, he's been cleared. He left. Don't quote me on this, Ryan, but I think within a week after the season ended, he was cleared to go. Yeah.
Sean, Tommy Doyle announced his retirement. I know that he hasn't played, unfortunately, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But you had him around a lot, and he was with the guys. Can you just kind of take us into your relationship with him and watching him and unfortunately having to call?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting into now some personal stories, right? Just if a movie could be made about Tommy Doyle, there needs to be a movie made. Just because of what I'm saying is, you know, you see these personal interest stories that pop up on shows, and before, you know, watching the USA play Canada the other night, and these personal interest stories that are popping up about the players on each team and the stories. And it's just, to me, fascinating to listen to the journey of how these players get to where they're at. Tommy, no different, right? Comes in, drafted where he was drafted, and gets off to a really, really good start, and then experiences what he went through. And then that journey, that's that next chapter of his life and his career began. And to watch him handle that in the way that he handled that, not only did it inspire me, it inspired everybody in our building. And to watch a young man grow in his faith in God through the course of that, to me is, again, just a, the NFL is hard. The NFL, I understand, is about results, but it's awesome to see when a young man is able to handle an adverse situation and really come out of it, I don't want to say in a better spot, but darn it, man, he is going to be successful at whatever he does. He's a winner.
Talk about the years you played that maybe takes a step back. Do you feel like Tommy can't fall into that category, or is his mostly about health?
I would say, in my opinion, as I sit here right now, I feel like it's mostly about health. Now, are there some things he can do as well that he needs to do to continue to do this? Yes, and he's very aware of those things. And, you know, the thing about Dalton that I want to make sure everybody understands is he is as serious about football and his improvement as anybody on our football team. He loves the game. He loves to compete. And some of the way he plays is a reflection of his competitiveness, right? He's not a big tight end, but he plays like a big tight end. And within that, he's been hurt a little bit in year one and then again in year two. So the most important thing that we need to do and we need to help him with and he needs to do as well and taking the lead on this is getting stronger and more durable for us to be out there even more. So I don't question his ability. It's just can he get strong enough from a play strength standpoint to help us every week of the season, and in particular in the playoffs when we need him the most?
Sean, was that a conversation that was had after his rookie year, or was it something that you came to that realization more as year two went on? That he needed to do that?
In terms of after year two, you mean this past offseason, Jay? Or?
The idea of needing to add strength to increase durability, it seems like maybe that would have been a conversation after his rookie year going into year two. So my question is, was that conversation had at that point, or did it become a realization in year two that you maybe needed to do that?
No, I think the awareness was there both years. It's just a matter of, hey, how soon do you develop some of that? And then how, you know, when you're able to stay healthy enough, too, that they kind of go hand in hand a little bit, right? Stronger, more success, potentially more durable, you know, all that stuff, it works together. So that awareness was coming after year one. But I would say when you're just after year one, he had such an incredible year after year one, it was still there. But, you know, probably when you go into the second year and then he experiences another injury, right, or two, now it's starting to add up, hey, we gotta find a solution to this for sure, right? Because it's not, you know, going from year one to year two probably didn't get to where we had hoped he would get to from a strength and durability standpoint. But now 2 years in a row, you start to build, it's starting to become a tendency and a pattern, so we got to get this thing stopped.
John, what is Terrell Bernard's development being the captain this year? Do you less splash play because of your before? Where is he in the development? Where is he going?
Well, I would say that, you know, TB is to first and foremost get a C on your chest when there's only two given out and you're just your third season as a pro, I think really speaks volumes about who he is and how his teammates view him. So that's number one. Two is his play. I think at some point he turned a corner and started to make some of those splash plays again. And I think it was maybe, don't quote me on this, mid to mid-plus point of the season where he was starting to get some of those same plays. And I think what happened a little bit was early on, coming off of a really good year two, maybe trying to do a little bit too much at times, right? And that sometimes happens also when you get the C on your chest of, hey, you're good here, you're good there, and all of a sudden, oh wait, hang on, you know, I got to make sure I'm locking down my part as well. So we had conversations about that after the season, right? With, hey, leadership comes in a lot of different forms, but first of all, you start by leading yourself. And he had great intentions all the way through the year. It was just, hey, let me understand this role of a captain, and then now my place starts to pick back up again. And I think we saw that towards the end of the year, in particular when that Baltimore game stands out.
Sure, you signed Shane. You gave Mike White the extension. Mitch is still around. How do you see the quarterback position beyond Josh Allen as you dive into the offense?
Yeah, I mean, we got four guys in there, and I played quarterback in high school. You know, I'm just thinking I may try it a little bit too, wing T, right? But why not? We got add a fifth. That's right, option. We can go either way with it. Although the wing backs, that I never pitched it, but I remember once or twice I pitched it to them. But no, we've got a really good group in there. It's a fun group. They work well together, and that's huge for Josh and Josh's continued growth. And you know, you want to be happy when you're coming to work every day, driving down that driveway at One Bills. And when you like who you're going into the room with, that's a big piece. Now, having said all that, you got to be able to play and get the job done as well. And I think that'll be, not I think, I know, that's going to be a very intentional part of our offseason, part of our spring, part of training camp, to see, hey, when you get in the game, what does it look like, and how good can we be at that position?
Sean, this is your
Yeah, love Von. I mean, I thought, you know, Von, I think people sometimes forget, you know, came in and had success early, and then he went through the knee situation. And the thing I love about Von is he very rarely, if ever, used kind of the victim role approach. He always was, hey, I'm coming back. I'm going to be back. I'm working on it. You know, he's just so elite with his mental. To come off of a knee injury, in particular when you're 30 plus, is a challenge. And I thought this year was a lot better than the year before, and that's really what you want to see.
He only had 16 snaps against Kansas City. Were you trying to maximize his pass rush snaps there? It was a low number.
Yeah, it was low. You know, ideally you can get him into third down, and I didn't think we won enough first downs or second downs, early downs, to get him into third down or third and long enough. Mark in that capacity, so sometimes those go hand in hand, and ultimately it's also a role feeling the game on the sideline too. And hey, we're not getting into a lot of third downs, so let's get Von some work on first and second. So those go hand in hand as well.
Sean, this will be your eighth draft with Brandon. How have you over the years fine tuned that relationship this time of year to pair his vision with the evaluation with your vision on the field once you've done it?
Give me that again.
How have you been able to kind of streamline the process of matching his evaluation, his team's evaluation, with your plan for once?
In terms of what, philosophically, you know,
just getting them in a position, the vision, to contribute right away. You
talking about first year players, or? Well, I think, you know, this year, and I know, you know, it's talked about every year, but we play the players that are in the right, that are good enough to play. Like, we have no agenda on, hey, this player, because he was drafted in this round, must play over the undrafted player. And I think Joe Andreessen's a great example of that, right? I'm just not a big believer in that, and I know Brandon isn't either. It's the players that are ready to play, they play. And the players that earn the jobs are usually the ones that are ready to play the most. And they do the best in the preseason. Now, as I've said before, there's a little bit of, hey, feet in the ground, a little bit of roots, a little bit of foundation for those that started the year before. So it's going to take a little bit more to beat those players out. But really, and I learned this from Brian Dawkins years ago in Philadelphia, when you go to camp, when you go to training camp, every player's goal should be, I'm making the team. And even if you're an all-pro, like Brian Dawkins and Hall of Famer, it's make the team, and it's got to be earned. And so when a player like that takes that approach, I think all of us, coaches included, can take that approach.
Great transition from Brian Dawkins. I was just going to ask you about safeties. And you got Cole Bishop, who got his feet wet. Yep. Tar is a free agent. Tar obviously was hurt at the end of the year. How do you assess that position, and is Cole maybe ready to step up into a bigger role?
Well, I think that we'll see. Honestly, you know, you never really know. But it's important. You know, when you draft players, that they come in and they play. Whether it's year one, year two, whatever. Usually, there's a hey, if you haven't played by the end of training camp at year three, something could be going on, right? So, I think in Cole's situation, we'll be counting on him to have an impact on our defense. You know, one of the biggest challenges that he went through last year was the injury during training camp, I believe it was, or a lot of training camp. And then he got behind, quite frankly. And so I think more than anything, it's what is he, similar to Dalton, similar to a lot of the players going from year one to year two, what does he come back looking like, right? Does he come back looking like he just busted his tail when in the time when he was away from us and he was a madman and getting himself ready to go and to really kick some tail out there, and he has a mastery of the defense and he's coming back and now he's not thinking he's just playing. We'll know. I mean, we'll know. It doesn't take long to know when a guy walks back in the building if he's worked or not. I have a lot of confidence Cole's wired the way that he will be a player that will put in the time and work. But again, you really don't know until the player comes back. So I'm not going to sit here and make guarantees he's going to do this or that. At the end of the day, he's going to have a chance to win the job. And, you know, that's when you draft a player where we drafted him. You want him to win that job. But he's got to do it. We can't do it for him.
Hey, Sean, when you guys start talking to players this week in that meeting, do you observe or do you really ask a lot of questions in the person?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. You know, so the way we do it, and I don't want to give away, you know, Brandon's secrets and strategy in the meeting room, but there's a little bit of film involved and a little bit of get to know you. But more so, we kind of already know the background on them. And so, you know, usually Brandon will start off with a couple questions, and then the coaches, the position coach in particular, or the coordinator, will get onto the film with the player. So I kind of jump in where I feel like I need to, and whether it's on a personal thing that I'm just not feeling great about that the player may have talked about, or something that's not jiving with their answers coming off of the film from a mental standpoint. So it's hard, 15 minutes, and especially with the way these guys are, you know, taught, educated, however you want to say it. You know, you can kind of come across one way for 15 minutes and then be somebody else a little bit on the field, off the field, outside of those 15 minutes, right? So it's trying to find, in those 15 minutes, a little bit of gut instinct on what we're looking at, what we're dealing with.
Follow up on that. When you have a top 30 guy come to the facility, do you always spend one-on-one time with that player?
Yes. Yeah.
It's
not always one-on-one. It's usually either one-on-one or it's in a leadership group. Myself, Brandon, some of our other top-level scouts usually sit down together, if we can, and meet with the prospect.
Just curious about the coaching of the prospects. Was there a time frame that you can remember where you went, oh wow, these guys know answers to the task before we give them the test?
I think it's evolved over the years. It's been a gradual evolution, right? Which is what you'd expect, year to year. The agents, you know, hire people to get them ready, and the agents are becoming more and more aware, and then honestly more exposure into what happens allows for more awareness and then more, you know, educating, right, on the field and off the field and classroom and how the meeting's going to go and running the 40. I mean, you go back over the years to the guys that have you know, blown up the combine test, right, and then get drafted up here, and they're really good athletes, but the game is played on a field, you know, and it's not a 40-yard dash. So it's that blend, right, because you guys know it. When somebody comes out here and runs a 4 or whatever or jumps, you know, yay high, all of a sudden they get start moved up on people's boards, and, you know, can they play the game? You know, that's what I'm most interested in.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.